All right, everybody, welcome back to the Insider's Lounge. Today we have another episode, another special guest. Sebastian, thanks for joining us, and feel free to introduce yourself.
My pleasure, man. So I'm Sebastian. I'm 29 years old, and I'm a football player and entrepreneur, I guess.
Yeah, we got a good mix, a little bit of everything. So let's get started from the very beginning of your story. Where did you first begin your footballing journey, and what were some of your first memories in football?
I think first memories just been there. I have a dad who's always been obsessed with football. It's like as soon as I could walk, it was a ball with my feet, and in Italy where my journey sort of started. And then after, like, early on in Denmark, so it's just a lot of memories with my dad, I guess.
And then I'm always curious, one of the first questions I like getting into with each of our guests is the educational background, because I find it interesting. So many people come from different backgrounds and educations, either really prioritized or in other senses, it's more you just get on with a certain career and move things forward. For you, you went through sort of the educational route. Can you speak a little bit about that and how it's influenced not only your playing career, but your business side of things as well, and your career past playing?
Yeah. So it's one of those things, I think not until very recently, I have sort of like gotten a very positive perspective on it. Obviously when you're an athlete and it's very obvious where your aspirations and dreams are. It's not in the books, whatever playing field you're into. But, so I had, obviously, like I told you, a dad who was very passionate about my football. It was our dream. I also have a Korean mom. And for her, it was very, very important that I always sort of like stayed in that lane also. Not necessarily just for me to, you know, like, she was not one of those where you need an education. But early on, she instilled a mindset in me where there might be stuff to... you will not naturally gravitate towards, but you have to be able to do that also. I guess later on, or even after I was done, I did a business degree, in Copenhagen Business School, and it was one of those things where I didn't really know what am I doing this for? Why am I having this? I'm playing football. Why am I struggling so much while the others, they are maybe building families, they are playing PlayStation, they are whatever really. And what I do realize now is how it differentiates me from other athletes. It's one of my greatest assets now. It's what makes me unique. Unfortunately, I never played in Real Madrid or Barcelona, but I do have a different background with my being a footballer, having finished my academics. So now it is one of my greatest assets as a brand, I guess.
And then working past sort of your time at university and before your playing career really got kicked off, you had some experiences working in, I think it was marketing and sales as well, right? Can you speak on sort of the transition from university into those roles and then sort of back into, I guess you were playing at the same time, right? You were kind of doing both.
Yeah, I was. And to be honest, during COVID, I had a time during COVID where I couldn't find a club and nobody was really signing. So worked early on. So yeah, my dad had a store at that time. So when I was a kid, I helped sell glasses. That was the first experiences I had with working in a store, and later on, obviously during the pandemic, I would get very much into marketing as a whole. It was very, very broad, and that was while I was obviously finishing my degree. So doing all of that while playing football seemed for the longest time to be, a little, there was no really alignment in it. It was just like two very separate playing fields in a way. And, but yeah, I guess, as I said, today I have a very different perspective on it, but obviously in the beginning it was strange.
Yeah, and then speaking of, along that journey, we were speaking a little bit about the before the call on your career now and what you're dealing with. But let's start all the way. So we mentioned some of your first moments and getting introduced to football. Can we get a sort of insight into your journey? And obviously, you were born in Italy, grew up in Denmark with an Asian side to you as well. So you've got a real mix. Can you kind of talk through your journey so far and what you've experienced?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, like early on, Italy, football, crazy country. And obviously, there's no question. Football, I went to Denmark, had my whole education there with both school, with football, everything really, grew up there. And then the thing with me that also makes it a little different is I didn't, let's say, graduate from a big academy by the age of 16, 17 or 19, whatever. It's like you see so many players that they'll go to the first team and do well, and it was not my case. I had to go to the academies, not really make it, to be honest. Go to, I think I've played honestly in what have I played in, like the sixth or seventh best league also as an adult. In Denmark, while still being that serious about becoming a professional football player, and I think I've been 21 maybe at the time where I've done this.
And what kept you going at that point? Like I'm sure it gets to you at a certain point where you might see sort of the feedback from the outside of like if some people might look at you like you're crazy, you're 21 and you still are looking to achieve that professional career and but you're in the sixth, seventh tier. What kept you going in that moment?
I think, and to be honest, I inside of my head, I think I've quit maybe 3 million times now. But it's one thing I will say without phrasing myself too much that I've always been quite good at is, some people they need to see it to believe it. Obviously, if you when I did my school, I knew X years you will have a diploma, right? That's how it works. With football, it's one of those things where if somebody, you know what, 0.1% of you guys will make it, would you still do it? And luckily, I've never been the most rational with those kind of things. I just had a vision in my head, like, I want to do this. I know I'm good enough. And I think I've played in, I don't know how many clubs, like growing up until. Yeah, I got my breakthrough or something, like sort of. But yeah, for sure, it's not a lot of people will do that. Not a lot of people will take that road where they. I made my like full-on professional debut when I was 23. So it's and 1 year before that, I relegated to yeah. I just counted in my head to the seventh best league. So in 1 year, seventh best league, or relegated from the sixth to the seventh best league to the best league. So it is possible. It's not an easy road, but I always kept believing it, and it did happen eventually.
And then, so you moved your way up in terms of the European landscape for football, and then you decided to move to Southeast Asia, and now you sort of set it as a statement that you want to win a championship in Southeast Asia. Where did that goal come from, and where did you find the sort of inner belief where you want to almost post it everywhere? You have it on your LinkedIn, you have it on your Instagram, you have it out there, and claiming that that's something you want to achieve. Where did that mindset come from?
I think honestly, just because I always knew, like with the journey of mine. Now you heard like it's I couldn't go a traditional road, so I did understand quite early on that if I want to do this still, I need to be willing to do a little more than all the others. Not just on the field, not just the gym, not just the or with all the small things. I know that it divides a lot of people. I know that it's for some it'll seem a little cocky. For some it'll some they will think it's amazing. But I think also due to my small close, I have a small circle of close friends where I think you mentioned in one of my on one of my LinkedIn posts where it reminded you of Anders, for instance, Anders
Yeah.
Hoffman, Iceman, who's one of my very closest friends. Same with him. I have this small circle of ours is we're all very aligned in terms of the mindset it takes for us to go where we eventually want to be. Let me also, I think, to put things into context, I think when I was 20 or 21, you know, one of those trips with your friends where you just go, you want to have fun. I did that when I was 20. I went to Indonesia and we just randomly went to a football game, not expecting anything, like anything at all. And when I saw that, I knew that's worth dreaming about. That's worth going for. And that's the direction I need to set. That time, as I said, I was not a professional player. Still in school. Really not. There was no clear way for me. But here I am. I've had my first great season in Malaysia, and which is quite close to Indonesia. So that is why I am so confident and so, I guess, so clear in my goal.
And one of the most fascinating things I always find is footballers, you have a sort of tough schedule where you're constantly in that mental mindset of you have to be training, you have to be ready to go for the next opportunity, but you do have time for hobbies, for other things to do. And not a lot of footballers spend that working on a side project or working on a business that they have of their own, but you've been able to sort of take that time and really focus in on a few different things that can benefit you later on past your playing career. So can we get into some of the projects that you've been working on the side? And one of the key things I was interested in is how you're able to balance sort of the footballing career and playing career full time, as well as working on these projects and able to build them up at the same time.
Well, I think especially initially it's difficult because nothing's easy in the beginning. We're used to just playing football, right? But as you said, I will train in the morning. I will be home 11:12, maybe 11:30 a.m. And then from there, what now? Okay, you can take a nap. Okay, fine. What then? I call it, it's a direction I'm quite proud of, and it's something I encourage a lot of young athletes today to do. Is I call, even when I'm doing speech, I call it the modern day athlete. As I said, I can't talk about how to play in Real Madrid, what that's like. I can't do that. What I can do is advocate for young people who's doing a lot of sports or very passionate into anything, really, to do their academics, to still stay in school, to still do all of that, because eventually now I see a lot of football players, they'll invest, or sport athletes in general, they'll invest into different stuff. For me, I had this strange feeling that I knew I didn't want the money to invest necessarily. I wanted the money to build. I wanted, like in football, I told you the percentage of players will actually make it. It's so low. I want to double down on myself. I want to bet on myself. That's what I want to bet on. I don't want to, because that's my life. That's what I know. That's what I believe in, and where I can affect something. So when I say, for instance, my football career has given me a wonderful platform to work from, and I use that in my life as an entrepreneur. And even yes, I will train in the morning. I will maybe I don't like sleeping too much during the day, so I will go out and I will most likely work for 3 hours or something like that. I will go home, maybe then I'll take an hour where I'll just not do anything. I will go to the gym again evening, and then I'll work maybe a few hours and then go to bed. The thing is, I'm being very intentional with my time. I'm far away from home, far away from my family. So I think if I was just sit at home, not doing anything, I think it'll be very hard. There's different models. Football players will maybe have kids. They'll maybe kill the time with computer games and stuff. I do know at one point football career is finished. So me really, really building a skill to do something else very, very well is very important to me, that I can sort of like transition into that while I'm still a football player and not after.
one of those side projects that we spoken about in the past. The video was phenomenal that you posted on LinkedIn, Icebox Recovery. Can we get into the sort of the plan, how you first created that and the idea of moving forward?
Yeah, crazy story, man. I lived in the Faroe Islands 1 year during the COVID. I'm a little bit crazy with these things. I there was no way you could play football. I identified four countries where you could play. One was Australia, one was New Zealand, one was Iceland, one was Faroe Islands. So I'm like, and I'm without a contract. I'm just like, man, how can I play football? So I bought a ticket to the Faroe Islands. And of course, countries closing down. I should have seen that coming. So now I'm stuck there. Can't really get out. So I end up signing for a club in the Faroe Island called the Klaksvik. Great experience. And like very surprisingly, like a really, really strong team. They've been doing really well in the European Champions League also. And so it's like quite interesting story. But I end up there. And I play there for close to a year. And I can't really get out. So what happens then is the football obviously closes down, and now I can't even play football up there. And I'm just going crazy. I sit in a shitty little basement apartment, no fucking Wi-Fi, nothing. It's there's not much to do. And I start doing, I've read online somewhere that ice baths is maybe also good for your head and stuff. And I'm like, at this point, I need to do something, just something. And so I start to jump into the ocean in the morning. And I don't know why, because I really didn't like it, but I forced myself for, I think, 2 weeks. And then the first day after the 2 weeks, I'm like, hold on, I don't feel so well today. Well, I might as well just go and do it again then. And it just kept, I just kept on doing it for so long. And until I sort of went back to Denmark. And that was, Icebox is like, it is right now, it's portable icebox. That's the whole concept of the company. But my first ice bath was actually just the ocean. And I knew from then I wanted to, so I sat and drafted a little, and I came up with the name Icebox. I knew at some point I want to execute this project. And I didn't have I had it sort of like in my backlog, which is maybe someday, it's like, I don't know when. Then I went to Malaysia, and again, super, super crazy. Now I'm sitting on the other side of the world in terms of where I'm from. And I just decided to say, look, I think it's now. Because my day was like, I train so early and I have all day to do stuff. And I guess so far so good. We are four and a half months down the line, I guess. We've been doing quite well so far.
And the other thing that I saw you've really been working on is your personal brand. So finding ways that there's Seb as the football player, but then there's also much more that you can build around that in terms of what we were mentioning with brand deals and different companies and working alongside that. What was some of the inspiration behind building out your actual personal brand, growing your social media presence and so on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super, super inspired by athletes who've sort of like, you can see they've thought about their storytelling, how they can actually provide value to some people. I've never been very, like, honestly, I've never been one who posted a lot because I was like, wait, what am I actually going to talk about? I think for athletes, like I said before, obviously with my background coming from branding and a lot of marketing also, I was used to do that on a more corporate scale. And all of a sudden I saw, hey, hold on, I can actually do this for myself. I have a unique background now. I can actually talk about some stuff that will be quite insightful to people. And I started to pitch that to different companies. I started to be very consistent about my work on social media, and I just wanted to see where it took me. And rightly, like my assumption was, yeah, people will engage with it, and I was right. It's is I'm still finding my voice, I guess, in the whole thing. But it's, for me, it's important that I was not, would not just be one of those football players with like another important 3 points or stuff like that. Nah, it's too generic, and I wanted to give people sort of like an insight to, most and foremost, like of course all the wins, but also all the doubts, because success is such a little part of that journey. Yes. I want to be quite transparent about like the reflections, the thought processes, all of the things you actually experience on this journey, and hopefully, yeah, some people will benefit from it.
Hey there, if you're listening to this, you're about halfway through this week's episode, so I want to say thank you. I'm just here to quickly remind you that these episodes are free. They're free to watch, free to listen to, and all I ask in return is for you to follow, maybe like, share, comment, or even leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. That's enough from me, though. I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode, and I'll see you in the next one. And then that's been able to now translate. So you're working with, I saw Puma for sure, Optimum Nutrition, Wardrobe. You've been able to kind of get these different aspects. How have you been able to now move that into your personal brand and able to achieve those career objectives and move it? We've sort of mentioned this theme of you can build now for more than just your career. So past your career and show others how that's possible. So how have you been able to now turn that personal branding into these deals or these partnerships with brands that are able to kind of push that forwards?
I think the short and simple answer is I took ownership of it. To elaborate a little, football players rely on agents, they rely on media companies, so many different people, like different, I guess, people around them who, and I'm just going to say this, it is who will claim they have their best interest. I don't believe that for one bit, not at all. If they have their own best interest, as long as they can make money, they will, yeah, then they're okay with helping you. For me, it's slightly different. All the deals I've made, I've never been approached once. So with currently, like you said, Puma, Wardrobe, Optimum Nutrition, even Aston Villa in England. Those deals, Aston Villa is the only one who's actually seen me due to my presence and thought, yeah, you will be a great ambassador for the club's values, and we would love for you to market it in Southeast Asia. But the rest of them is me who's been thinking, how can I pitch myself? What makes me stand out? Why would I be a great fit for this company? And yeah, that's, I guess it's like everything in life. If you stand out, then people, they actually want to learn more about, oh yeah, that's different. And I guess just to take one example, always been so inspired by, for instance, David Beckham, how he did his career. I don't remember David Beckham first of all, his football career, despite him being an afterballer, but I've always found that very fascinating.
I wanted to get, you mentioned a little bit about your day in the life and sort of what that looks like. Can we get a more detailed version of what does a day in the life actually look like? Because it's more than just being a footballer. Like, we've had this conversation the whole time. You have quite a complex day. So can you get, what does a day in the life look like at the moment for you?
So usually I train a very early morning. That's it's, my day starts at 7 a.m. normally. I will go to training. I'll train at 8. And then I'll have 1.5 hours of training, of football training usually. And then I'll be home most likely at 10:30. I'll grab my iPad. And then this is the best part of the day. I just go down, get my cup of coffee, get some breakfast. And then I eat, I sit there, there's good vibes. And I can sit all the mails, all the, I guess, loose ends I have from my company. There's a lot of them. When you are doing entrepreneurship, there's a lot of loose ends. So I'll sit there most likely for, like I said, 2-3 hours. I will go home. I will just relax a little, get a little recovery in, and that's, I do that. I rest. Have lunch, and then after that, I'll go back out again. Then I'm. Will work maybe for another 3 hours again, I will go to the gym, and then I'll eat dinner. I will, if I can, I'm not the best at that, but if I can just leave my work for a second. And when I say work, yeah. It's also on the personal brand. I usually say, if I had 10 baskets, and I think a lot of football players will maybe think this is quite odd, but I always say I try to identify which baskets in my life do I have that I prioritize. I have three. I'm far away from home. My family's not here. So my friends, obviously, are all around the world. So I have football, I have my personal brand, and I have Icebox. I allocate 4 eggs into football, 4 into Icebox, and 2 into my personal brand in terms of time.
Hmm.
So I'm very intentional with my time. And that's the other direction. That's where my time goes. That's where my effort goes. And I have a specific times during the day where, now you need to get this done. And I'm trying to be as structured as I can to work on this. That's my life.
Yeah, no, that's a great explanation of how it goes. I wanted to, one of the key things we always discuss on the podcast is the footballing world is like a roller coaster. You have these crazy ups and downs, and it's really hard to sort of keep a straight line of emotion and everything that comes with it. But in your career, we speak a lot about the lows and some of the difficult points that you might have featured throughout your time. What were some of those lows like, and how have you been able to take those and use them as motivation now today to keep you going and keep you on your path?
Man, I've had so many, I've always told myself, now don't be that guy who thinks he's been through more than others. I don't want to, because I don't know others' careers, but I think in my journey in general, I've, just to make it short in headlines, I think I faced, and I know people say that, but from clubs, I think I have more than 50 rejections. When I was 22, I got dumped because I was too old to play in a third division team. And I never really played anyways, but I got dumped. And then, that was hard because how can I become a pro if I can't even make it in the third best league? I've tried being without a club for a couple of times now, where it's I came back from the Faroe Islands. Like I told you, I couldn't find a club. And I think the club I got into in Denmark, they were at the bottom of the second best league in Denmark at that time. I think it was the fifth time I went in and knocked on their door, and I was clubless for half a year. And then they finally took me in, and then it went really well from there. But a lot of had to go through a lot. And then the most recent one, which has been by far the biggest low in my career, was my last club in Denmark before going to Southeast Asia. We had a termination that was very, very, very bad of the contract. Basically, a club who decided to... We agreed on the termination agreement and everything, and then they sent in my termination letter 18 seconds too late, I guess, after the transfer window, which banned me for half a year. No penalties to them. So all of these things, I guess, just a lot of rejections, being without a club, so a lot of uncertainty. This one really, really hit me, but all of this is also why I'm able to now be so intentional with my time now. I'm also clubless now, and I don't panic about it. I don't want to. I just know every time I've went through an all-time low, for instance, this last low, my dream of going to Southeast Asia came at the most unlikely of all times. That's the truth. When I got dumped and I was 22, and I couldn't make that team in the third best league, I lied to a coach that I was, because he said he needed a left fullback. I was an offensive midfielder at the time. Told him I was left-footed and I played left fullback. It couldn't be more wrong. And I went there, and this guy, he just looked at me and said, "You have the balls to come here and lie and everything." And he said, "I love it. I just love it. I'm the guy I want on my team." 1 year later, I was... The league I wasn't good enough to, I was awarded the best player of the league. and then went straight to the best league. When I played in that team with in the third best league before, where I didn't really play, I played with the second team mostly, and that's where I relegated to the seventh best league same year. So I've had so many lows, but I do know every time, and I think a lot of footballers sometimes forget that. You just have to sometimes, in life in general, there comes these times where, yeah, it'll be tough, especially if you choose this field of work, especially also for me, if you choose to be so, like, you choose a direction that is so clear. To go there, you can't expect just, like, a smooth path there. It's not how it works. But I will tell you, every time I've experienced, like, crazy lows as a football player, it's always after that the best things in life comes. Always.
And if someone's looking at your career or they're listening to the podcast now, and they might be, for example, a young footballer who has a dream to not only follow a strong professional path, but also have that balance maybe between the business side and the playing side, do you have advice for someone in that sort of position?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, people need to stop talking about work-life balance. If you really want, and at least that's the path that I've chosen to pursue something I believe to be late, something where it's not easy. It takes a lot of work. So first and foremost, I hear sometimes people talk about, oh yeah, but yeah, the work-life balance, it's too much, isn't it? And I say, well, if you want to go there, it's not. It's really not then. I don't know how else I could live my life now. It's just my lifestyle, and I have to work extremely hard. I think that's the first thing you have to understand. We can't feel sorry for ourselves. It's very important that we start to just accept, yeah, it's not easy, and you have to believe in a vision. You have to believe in something you can't see, something that's just from your mind. That's why a lot of people don't do it. Go to a workspace and being promised a paycheck, or go to uni, getting a diploma promised. It's easier. It's much easier. But uncertainty, like throughout history, throughout mankind, is like we've always like sort of been afraid of uncertainty. That's why, for instance, when I created the Icebox, I just wanted something bold to be the tagline. I said, embrace discomfort. Embrace discomfort, because eventually, not tomorrow, but eventually that's where all the success will come from. And I think that's the first thing you need to, if you want to do something great, yeah, you need to embrace that discomfort. You need to understand, yeah, you have to work extremely hard. And maybe you don't know what it is just yet or anything, but it starts with a vision or something you often imagine at end goal. For instance, when you're a kid, you imagine, oh, I'm running in a Camp Nou or Bernabeu, right? That's an end goal. You can see it. And sort of like just believing in that, it's there. So then you need to figure out, what does it take for me to get there? How can I get there? And then break it down. Just break it down there. Don't try to grasp everything at one point. Just one step every day, one small step, and then eventually all those like good habits you build, all those small steps, they compile, and you will get closer to where you want to be, for sure.
You mentioned that sort of that vision and looking into the future and dreaming in a sense. Do you have a futuristic mindset where you look in the future? And if so, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? If you could see yourself maybe in a career and your personal life, do you have that sort of idea?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I'm still playing football. Hopefully, my body is still good, and I can keep doing what I love. Aside from that, I have exited my first businesses, and I have made a lot of knowledge and experience and become much, much, much better entrepreneur. I still have to think about that, this one, but ideally by that time I will start to have a family. I think if you take, that's maybe 5 years, 10 years, I think I am maybe going towards the end of my career. I'm 29, so who knows, but let's say I'm just in the end of my career. But I hope at that time I can, I have this dream, my next chapter for sure, my next big passion project I will go in and I will own a football club of my own.
Yeah, I love it. I love to hear the sort of the dreams and what people have in play. We'll finish things off with some quick fire questions here. So first, what was your favorite club growing up? Who did you support?
Juventus.
And do you have a favorite quote or saying that you live by? I know you mentioned a few kind of throughout.
I think one thing also coming from a Christian Catholic background, so it's like I think the verse that's what we walk by faith, not by sight. It's very, I guess, something I try to remind myself of when it's tough.
And do you have some top recommendations? So I know you're in Malaysia now. You spent a lot of time in Denmark, but let's get some recommendations from both. Top recommendations for Malaysia, whether it's food or a place you have to see, and the same for Denmark.
Well, Denmark, go in the summer first and foremost. It's cold else. Visit amazing city, amazing vibe, beautiful architecture, beautiful everything really. Malaysia, absolutely go to Kuala Lumpur. Crazy city, such a cool place to be. Also visit the islands around. Honestly, they're so untouched and so beautiful, and it's one of those, I think, walk through the real Instagram and you'll see these nice vacation spots. That's where you will be. And lastly, go to yeah visit if you haven't been. I think most have been to Italy by now, honestly, but it's like but yeah, if you still haven't done that, go there. Amazing food, good weather, amazing culture. Yeah, I still love going there.
And do you have a favorite book, or are you a big reader, or not really?
Yes and no. I think I'm being more intentional with my reading now. So for instance, when I read now, it's more like a daily passage, maybe during the day, and it can be. I like the Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday, where it's more like one verse or like one small verse from Marcus Aurelius' diary meditations that I read every day. Find that quite. Find the Stoic mindset quite interesting and a quite good guideline to life.
And do you have some favorite hobbies besides football? I know we all get involved a lot in football, and there's not a lot else to do, but do you have something to just break away, maybe away from work, away from football?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm not working and not playing football, I like to play music. I like to write. I've always enjoyed writing. I think that would be two things. If I were just to sit and not do much and just let my thoughts wander a little, it's I play the guitar and I still love doing that. Yeah, so writing and playing music, I think, would be two good options.
And the last one here, if you could sit down with one person for a meal, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
I think if I could take a life first, I would take the fighter Khabib Nurmagomedov. I am extremely motivated by that extreme discipline. His path, he's been so intentional with where he wanted to go all life, his life. So he would definitely be one. I think if it's somebody who's dead, I'm not really too sure. I think most of them are alive. He would be one, and I think obviously I would love to sit down with Cristiano Ronaldo just one day again. Same reason too as why with Habib. And I'm sure one day it'll happen.
I love it. Seb, I really appreciate you coming on. This was a great chat. Do you have any last words, and then we can wrap things up.
Yeah, no, not much, man. Thanks for having me, and thanks for giving me the chance to share a little about, like, yeah, I guess a slightly different approach to the whole being an athlete. Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
No, of course. It was a great chat. I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to speaking again soon.
Amazing, man. Thanks so much, and yeah, take care, and I'll go talk soon.